Good to be back with you all this evening. Carrie and Brandon, I'm kind of like Jonathan was with David. Your seat was empty, and I missed you. And that was that's something that ought to be preached on one of these days, is a love story between Jonathan and David. And you know it wasn't the love story that they would talk about today of, again, two men. But here was two men who genuinely loved one another. But we'll save that for another day. As I talk to Bruce this evening, I'm glad that it's not only me that has trouble with this lesson that we're going to have this evening. The title of our lesson tonight is Forgiveness. And sometimes that's awful hard to do. There once was a young man who learned the true meaning of forgiveness. He was betrayed by his family. He was imprisoned because of false statements made against him. This young man was forgotten by those who he helped, but when in a position to take revenge upon those who had so terribly mistreated him, he forgave them. There was a man once said, "Forgiveness is a beautiful, beautiful word until you have something to forgive." Now, these words remind us that forgiveness is by no means an effortless task, and like anything else worthwhile, it often takes a great deal of maturity, sacrifice, and exertion. In order to practice forgiveness, we must recognize that God's forgiveness of us is dependent upon our forgiveness of others. Would you turn your Bibles over, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Let's read verses 14 and 15 before we go on any further. Chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So our willingness to forgive others hangs in the divine forgiveness of our sins. God takes forgiveness very, very seriously, and so should we. We can't change the rules about forgiveness. We cannot withhold forgiveness from someone who genuinely repents. Now, we want to keep that in mind. Let's turn the Bibles over to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Let's read verses 3 and 4. Luke 17, 3 and 4. It says, "Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day returns to you and saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Repentance is the key word here in these verses, isn't it? So keep that in mind as we go on through. Now, if a person refuses to repent, we can't just throw out forgiveness, can we? Because that's not the way God intends it to be. Forgiveness is not on our own terms. In Scripture, forgiveness is clearly conditional. And we'll have a little more of this as we come to the end of the lesson, which this lesson is not very long. Depending on the personal nature of sin, a person may have a hard time forgetting it. In fact, it will likely resurface in one's mind from time to time. Bill Jones at Shell Knob gave me an example of that one time about how when we were supposed to bury the hatchet when somebody repents of sins and we forgive them. But Bill said sometimes we leave the handle sticking out where we can grab hold of it once in a while. But he said that total forgiveness is when you throw it away. You try your best to forget it. But a lot of times we're not going to forget it plumbly, but we can not use it against somebody, not bring it up. Kathy, another lady over there, Kathy Wilson, Somebody had done something to her years and years ago when she had forgot about it, and she got mad because somebody brung it up. She said, "Now I remember that again. I wish they hadn't brung it up." So that's the thought of what we're talking about. So when you deal with the matters God's way, we can hope for a future that sees some good that may come out of all this. So let us have the same heart as this young man who learned the true meaning of forgiveness. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." So let's look at three things that causes us maybe not to forgive. So, not to forgive a fellow Christian or a family member, a spouse, a parent, a child, a close friend, or maybe even our own self. Now, hatred is one cause. Did you know that hatred is said to be one of the strongest emotions that God has given us? Something that's very, very hard to control. But somehow, brothers and sisters in Christ, me especially, we've got to learn to hate what God hates, and we are to love what God loves. You always remember that God hates the sinful acts, but He never hates the sinner. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Probably the widest known verse of the Bible. I'll get that spit out in a minute. Hatred of another, of an individual will consume us with revenge. I'm sure that some of you have read the book of Moby Dick. Maybe back when you was a kid or something. If you will remember that book, Ahab lost his leg to the white whale. And then he was consumed then on with revenge to the point in the end is that Ahab destroys this ship, he destroys himself and all those around him in his quest for just revenge. So we could say that hatred destroys. When we have that much hatred in us, it'll boil and fester and cause us great pain in the end. Another thing that causes us maybe not to forgive is deep pain that we have suffered at the hands of somebody else. Now, pain is what happens to us when we get injured, but I think we're talking more about emotional pain. Is perhaps even more painful to us because a physical pain is healed and we forget we were ever hurt after, you know, if we have a broke leg or something, when it gets healed up, well, you never think about it no more. You think, well, I broke my leg, but now it's all right. Everything's fine with it. But our mental capacity for remembering makes it very, difficult to move beyond the emotional point. And I'm sure that if you haven't been hurt emotionally that deep, you know somebody it has. And what comes to my mind is a betrayal in marriage. Now, I have seen that with my brother. I've seen how hard and how that emotional pain drained him of all of his energy. And as one writer said, somebody may become like a wet rag. And what a shame that is. But you can see how the emotional pain, and sometimes it's just plain old words. There was a song, I can't remember who sang it now, but it said, "Words are like weapons, they wound." So we can have emotional pain by the words that somebody has spoke, either against us or somebody we know and somebody we loved, or maybe a brother in Christ or sister. So it's very difficult sometimes to move beyond the emotional pains. You know, sometimes we are so deeply hurt by another that we cannot forget what they did to us. Now, even if we can't forget, as we said just a little bit ago, even if we can't forget what they did, we can still forgive. We just don't hold that resentment against them anymore. And we try to treat them lovingly. We do not hold that sin against them. Now, we have a great example of that in the Bible. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 7 and verse 60. I think everybody knows where we're going with this. Acts chapter 7 and verse 60. Now this is the account when Stephen was addressing the council. We have Saul, better known as Paul, holding the coats for the ones that's stoning this man. And the account that I have read, that he was down lower than the rest of them, and they was throwing rocks down on him. So he was looking up and he was seeing those people who were stoning him. He was looking in their face and he seen them and doing it. And right before he left this earth, his soul left this earth, what did he say? Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Do not hold this charge against him. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 is another verse that goes with that, if you want to turn over or write it down and read it after a while. Another thing that keeps us maybe from giving is a little five-letter word that in the Bible it's always mentioned in a bad way, and that's pride. Pride will keep us from forgiving someone. You know, I've heard it said, "I'm not going to forgive them. They don't deserve to be forgiven." I hope no brother in Christ or sister says that, because when you get thinking about that, they do not deserve to be forgiven. Brethren, when we obeyed the gospel, we was just as bad as them, and Christ forgave us, didn't he? For sure, forgiveness is a gift of God. We have God's grace in our lives when we forgive. Forgiveness is necessary for our own healing. Let's read Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Colossians 3 and 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you you must do also. Now, as we talk about that young man, do you remember who that was? It was Joseph. Now, we all remember the story of Joseph, don't we? So you can see all that that happened to him, but he forgave. And that's the way we ought to be too. God's forgiveness is conditional. As we are members of the Lord's church, when we sin, we must ask for forgiveness. And if we truly repent, God will forgive us. And in the same matter, if somebody sins against us, and if that hatred boils up inside, we need to go to that person and tell them that they had sinned against us, because they might not know. And give them that chance to repent. And if they repent, we forgive them. Remember, our forgiveness hangs in the balance of us forgiving people that's done something to us if they repent. You know, and we're going to have people that will never repent because they don't think they've done anything worthy of repentance. So, brethren, let's join hands. Let's go to heaven together. And let's forgive everybody that asks for forgiveness to us. Do the best we can. And remember, Christ forgave us. He died upon the cross. His blood washed our sins away. Forgive us. And Brother Dan Winkler said one time about forgiveness. I may have said this here before, but if I have, well, listen with a deaf ear, as Billy's aunt would say. He said, when we ask for forgiveness, God takes those sins and puts them in his hand. And he said he just throws them just as far as he can behind him, and it goes into the deepest part of the ocean, into the abyss, never to be seen or heard of again. So, brethren, let's strive each day, live a Christian life the best we can, take somebody else to heaven with us, and rejoice when we get there. Amen? Amen. If you need the invitation in any way, please come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Some soul to save.